Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Joanne Lefebvre-Connelly, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, and we will be talking about her book, Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. Dr. Joanne's goal and hope in writing this book are to open everyone's heart and mind to improve our world and better the lives of all living creatures one at a time. We can all have a positive impact on someone else's life by bringing more joy, hope, and healing than we ever thought possible. Together, we can learn to care not only for the physical body, but also for the mind and soul. Dr. Joanne hopes this book helps anyone who works in close relationship with people or animals, inspires medical students and veterinary students in becoming great doctors, guides the medical community and all healthcare professionals in becoming better at the care for all patients, animals, and humans, as well as guides all patients in better caring for themselves. Dr. Joanne's book is available from Amazon.com. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Joanne to the show. Good day. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's a pleasure being here with you and your audience today.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to hearing your perspective and talking about your book. So I'd like to start with, if you wouldn't mind, would you share with the listeners what inspired you to write this particular book?
You know, animals are the best teachers. I used to believe it when I was a little girl, and I still believe it now that I'm an older person. And I have been a veterinarian for 18 years. And animals never cease to inspire me. They always give me the best answers to any questions that I have about the world that we live in. And I'm someone who has many questions. So animals have just filled me with a lot of wisdom and, again, teachings that I needed to share with others because I had not learned them from veterinary school or from other people. So I felt like I had to bring something new and share in a book with other people that have had similar experiences and similar teachings from animals, but nobody had really talked about it. So that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah. Well, you know, I, quite honestly, hadn't really, paid much attention to animals. I haven't had pets. I mean, only had, a couple, growing up. But, I would say probably within the last 10 years or so, I've really come to pay more attention to when animals cross my path and, try and find out maybe, what I can learn, what any kind of message is. And so it's really been kind of fun kind of exploring that. So with your book title, Animal Teachings, Haley's and Angels Methods, who was Haley?
So Haley was a four-legged friend that lived with us. She was my husband's dog. She was a rescue, and she lived to be 14, and so we spent many years together. When I met my husband, Haley was there, and the time came where she was 100 years old in human years, and we had to help her pass because she was suffering, and she was not, dying on her own. And so luckily I was able to bring the medications home to help her. She had trouble breathing, and we didn't want to take her to the hospital. So it was really fortunate that I was able to bring the medications home since I work as a veterinarian. And we helped her pass peacefully. And it was really, really sad. It was devastating. She was really somebody special. And after she died, she left me this legacy that I was not expecting, and that was to start an in-home euthanasia service. And she made me believe in the spirit world. She forced me to believe that, hey, I'm here watching you and helping you, because I had never really had that experience. But after she passed, I swear, she ordered everything in my life. You know, everywhere I would turn, somebody would ask me to euthanize their pet. And so, and I was trying to dismiss those signs, those synchronicities. I no longer believe in coincidences, but back then I was really trying to fight it. That was 12 years ago. I wasn't really sure, and I was afraid of, oh my God, am I going crazy here? But again, I finally decided to surrender to Haley and said, okay, if you're there and it seems like you're pushing me onto this path, please help me make this go well, because I'm very scared. You know, I've always worked as an employee in a hospital with support, you know, other colleagues, and now you're asking me to go to people's home and help their pets pass peacefully and deal with the families. And so, my God, Haley's changed my life forever, because since then I have helped over 10,000 families say goodbye to their pets and making it a celebration of life. It can be so beautiful. And I always ask families, you know, how did you adopt your pet? How did you find this pet in the first place? And most of them say, oh, he found me. You know, things were just meant to be that we found each other in again, really interesting ways, like synchronicities and signs of just guidance. Like you're walking down the street and this cat just follows you home and say, hi, I'm here. You know, I'm your new cat. And embracing those animals who come with amazing teachings and life lessons for us, it makes us better people. And that's what I've experienced. So I'm so grateful for Haley, for everything she's done for me and that she's continuing to do. And then those families who have helped at home taught me more, because we were able to share, you know, the intimate details of the whole journey with an animal and how do we make that decision to help them pass on with euthanasia. And that's when I realized, oh my God, these animals are talking to us in so many ways, whether it's a look in their eyes, or they retreat from the pack, they start hiding, or they just have a way to tell us. Sometimes they come in our dreams also to say, okay, I'm ready to go now. Like, I need your help to help me go to heaven. So, and that's what I share in the book. You know, there is so much we can learn to help us make better medical decisions. And should we do surgery? Should we not do surgery? Learning, reconnecting with our gut feeling, with our hearts, our intuition. Animals are so connected in their heart. You know, they're so intuitive. So they teach us to find that balance within our brain and our heart and our whole body that's guiding us. And nature. I've had so many teachings from the wildlife also and nature. So the book is filled with stories to help people realize what's happening in their own life, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, the idea of you know, a service providing euthanasia at home, you know, a lot of times when it gets to that point, you know, where that decision has to be made, it is a very tough one. And I know several friends who have had to make that decision. One of the most difficult aspects was bringing them to like an office area, you know, something that is very either, you know, just not home. I mean, just, you know, a place where, you know, it's, you know, the last moments just seem out of place, you know. So is this the idea of providing the service at home, is that a common practice, or I mean, have you run across other veterinarians who also do that, provide that?
It's finally getting more available, but I was definitely one of the pioneers. You know, 12 years ago, I was in Southern Arizona. I was the first end-of-life care or euthanasia service that was born, and a lot of other veterinarians felt very inspired to help and to do this, because it's not only is good for the patient and the family, but it's good for us. You know, it makes us feel so good to be able to help like you said, there's no place like home. And we all want to be comfortable at home. Some families will play music, will invite the other doggy friends, you know, have a little party and play. It's just, it's beautiful. It really becomes a celebration of life and sharing memories. And let's face it, you know, we're all going to die. So we can prepare and make it a peaceful, grateful ceremony as opposed to just being so sad, you know, because we need to be embracing that life that we were so blessed to share so many years with, you know. And what I found that I was not expecting is how much the rest of the pack, you know, if you have many animals, how much they are really, they can be really hurt. They can grieve so much when they lose a good friend. And it's hard at the in a hospital setting to help them with their grieving process. And I tell people now, you know, and I talk about it in my book, if you can't do this at home, bring some of your other pets, like the ones that you feel will grieve the most, bring them to the hospital, because it's important for them to spend some time with the deceased, their deceased friend. After the pet passes, it's amazing the reaction of the other animals. And of course, when you're at home, it's easier because they can do whatever they want. You know, they're more comfortable. So they can come be right next to their friend before we euthanize, or after the pet has passed, they can spend time with the body. They can just watch, you know, some cats will just watch from, you know, the other room, but they're still paying close attention. And some will come really close and they'll come rub on their friend. If you can bury your pet at home afterwards, it's amazing how the rest of the animals will visit the gravesite. And cows will do that, you know, large animals, horses, and they and it depends on the bond. Obviously, not all animals are super bonded. So some do better or move on better than others. You know, funny stories that I see, obviously, is when there's jealousy happening, or if when the bully dies. Some animals can celebrate that a lot. You know, oh, thank God, now I have my own space.
Oh, no.
And I don't have to, I don't have to share my humans with other animals. So it's really, it's just an opportunity to be at home, to give everybody involved a chance to go through this process however they feel, you know, however they feel it's best for them. And, you know, same thing when people die. That's something I would hope, I wish the medical system can do better, is to let the animals visit with the deceased body of their owner, you know, because often people die at the hospital and the body never comes home. The animals are just, they don't know what happened. They're waiting for their master at the home, and they go through a lot of anxiety, stress. They don't get closure. So it can be very detrimental. It can, yeah, for their own health, you know, some bad pets will die after their owner die, and vice versa. So when we become so bonded, there's so much more that's happening that we need to be aware of so we can help better.
Yeah, you know, that's what, you know, when you were talking about, you know, that pack aspect, you know, I remember seeing TV and a show of about elephants and how they react when some, you know, one of their herd dies. And I mean, it's very moving, the reaction and the, you know, how they interact and process, I guess, for lack of a better word, the death of someone that they're close to.
It changes the whole pack dynamic. Depending if it's the leader who dies, then who's going to be the next leader? And you might have some fight, you know, to establish the new leader. Yeah, it's really fascinating to watch the animals. There is this one home, and I went to help them with two dogs, and both times they have this little bunny named Tater Tot, and both visits that I was there, Tater Tot was sitting right next to his dying friend, that, you know, and he was not afraid of me. He participated. He's a very, very, bunnies are really smart. We don't give them enough credit, but they're really, really smart. So I've had bunnies a lot myself. I've rescued quite a few, and they just have really strong personalities. They understand what's going on, and they want to be involved. So Tater Tot was one of them, too, and he was supporting his friend through this process, and he was there for the whole family, and it was just so heartwarming to see that. And I'm so grateful that he was able to be involved and the whole family was there. And again, it just makes it for a much better experience. And obviously, you know, it's not always possible when there is emergency situations that arise. We have to rush the animal to the hospital. And there is a shortage of veterinarians. You know, I'm so grateful that so many families own animals and they share their lives with wonderful four-legged friends, but we don't have enough veterinarians to help, you know. So we're trying. I'm hoping that it would be nice if everybody could just pass at home. That would be the goal, obviously.
Yeah, that would be great. So now, I mean, like you mentioned, when you go to the home, I mean, obviously, you know, if it's I mean, there's that family dynamic. So when you go to assist, do you spend, I mean, are these are obviously like clients of yours, so you know the family and you know their history with their pet before you go?
And it depends, you know, it's a team effort. Depending where they're located, there's a lot of veterinarians refer to me as well. And because some animals need bigger workup, you know, x-rays and blood work, and it's a process, you know, we might diagnose them with cancer, but they're still feeling good enough. And then we're thinking, well, maybe in a few months, you know, just take it one day at a time and see, listen to your pet. That's always, you know, what I tell people, listen to your pet and watch for quality of life. We want to make sure that he's having fun. And even if he's got a disease that he will die from, it doesn't have to be today. You know, we just look at what mm-hmm. the animal is doing and the behavior, and is he happy? Is he still playing with his friends and having any joy in life, wanting to be close to his people? And so we take it one day at a time. And so sometimes I know them already, but sometimes it's just, hey, I got your name from my veterinarian. My dog just took a turn for the worse. Can you come today? So it's obviously a service that it requires a lot of flexibility mm-hmm. because I've been in that situation, and it's really hard to plan with much time notice. Typically, it's, well, now I know, and it's today. You know, yesterday my pet was feeling quite well, but today he's ready now. So it requires a lot of flexibility to be able to accommodate the timing needs to be right, obviously.
Yeah. So, I mean, it very much is a quality of life kind of question when it comes to
yes
that.
And it helps us, you know, discussing the, you know, some people call me and they just don't know quality of life and end of life care is not something that we have discussed enough, even with people in people medicine. You know, we receive a diagnosis and we don't really know what to make of it. You know, we kind of just want the doctor to say, well, how is this going to go? But what I've learned is that you can have 100 people or 100 animals with the same disease, let's say cancer, and you're going to have 100 different scenarios on what's going to happen, you know. And so it's important, and I talk about this in my book, we need to treat the patient, not the disease. So treating the patient in knowing what the patient wants, is there, you know, the personality of the person or the pet, the dynamic between the family and the loved ones that's happening, our life purpose, like where are we in our life? What age is not necessarily a disease. You know, I've kept going some old friends, some kitties, and some old dogs that we thought they were going to die, but, you know, we gave them a chance. We treated them with some medications, and oh my God, they lived another 2 years. So it's important to really discuss those things to make the right decision. And, really talking about all the options. And some animals are not going to let us poke them or, you know, give them injection. So we need to be fair. Fairness to me is so important in personalizing the medical decisions, because what I don't want is medical torture. And that's what I teach people. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of guilt involved in, well, I need to take my animal or myself through chemotherapy and radiation. And well, we need to really keep our eyes on the big picture, because we're all going to die, you know, and how much dignity are we going to have at the end of our life? And that's the key. That's the goal right there. And it's the same. What I realize is that us people or animals, we're all the same. And so the medical decisions, we all need to go through that same process of, well, what are we living for here? And so, for example, you know, one situation that I've come across quite a bit is you have a very sick owner. You know, the pet owner is really old and sick, and then you have a really old and sick animal too, or maybe not so old animal or human, but they're both, you feel like they're going through life together and they're kind of both reaching the end of their life. And so not all situations are black or white. You know, some you really have to decide, well, are we at the end of the road here? Or is there more that we can do and yet maintaining this quality of life? So in a few occasions, I basically helped the owners die by euthanizing their animals. And so those are really, it's so powerful because you talk to the owners and they tell you, I can't go because I'm so worried about my animal, but I know I'm dying. And, you know, and then I feel like, okay, yeah, it's the right decision to help your pet die because your pet is also sacrificing for you. You know, animals will hang in there for us, and dying is not easy because of this extremely powerful bond that we have between, you know, the animals and the people. So giving permission to the animal to die, it's really powerful also. So many times, you know, I tell the family, okay, tell your pet, I know it's hard, but tell him it's okay to let go. And it can really facilitate that natural passing without too much suffering. You know, it can be quick, but unfortunately, it's not always possible. And so thank God we have medications to help our animals because we need to give them that last favor, the gift of freedom, so they don't suffer. And so in those few instances where the owner was also sick and dying, it's amazing. As soon as we let go of the animal, we're talking a few hours here. You know, the owner was able to die peacefully, knowing that, okay, all my ducks are in a row. I've taken care of all unfinished business. We have a lot of power. We have a lot of power over what goes on, you know, and how to really write our own story of living and dying. And when we get a diagnosis of, well, why do we get sick in the first place? And I talk about that in the book. Well, I really feel like a lot of diseases, we bring them upon us because of a lack of balance. You know, we eat bad food or a lot of preservatives or a lot of pesticides nowadays. You know, that's a big part of it. But also our stress level. And I go in details about those things. Animals will often, amazingly, develop the same diseases as their owners. Isn't that fascinating? You know, there is a connection there, and it's not contagious. Yeah. It's because we go through the same difficult stress in life, whether it's an emotional shock, we lost somebody we loved, or a divorce, or lost a job. You know, any big stress, animals are there for us, and they are little sponges, and they will soak up whatever their owner is going through. A lot of anger, a lot of anxiety. And often when there is a lot of animals in the same household, it's fascinating because the owner will always tell me that the sickest animal is the one that is always the closest to them. Like it's their favorite, the owner's favorite pet. And so they spend the most time together. They really bond on an energy level. So it impacts the physical body. Some animals age so much faster than others, and people too. People will age so much faster than others. And it has a lot to do with the same things, you know, the stress level and diet and genetics, obviously. But again, we have a lot of power over those things.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Dr. halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back from break, Dr. Joanne, I want to talk about children and how how children react, how, you know, any experience that you've had with this process and, you know, children involved. I mean, you know, there's that can be a real touchy kind of situation. So I'm going to touch on that when we come back, okay?
That sounds great.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, BiteRadio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, BiteRadio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again. Today, my special guest is Dr. Joanne Lefebvre Connolly, and she is author of Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels, Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. And you can find her book is available at Amazon, and you can find out more by visiting her website, which is haleysangels.com, and that's HaleysAngels.com, haleysangels.com. Okay, so with that, we're back. Dr. Joanne?
Yes, it's so good to be here.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about your experience with this process of doing the home euthanasia with children. I mean, what are some of your experiences on how children react to that?
Children are amazing. They do great. They do better than their parents a lot of times because they are so... they're so pure. They're so in their hearts. They seem to remember. They just came from the other side. So they seem to remember where their pets are going. They understand the process, the cycle of living and dying much better than we can. And a lot of children will talk about past life, you know, reincarnations, who they were before. I'm always amazed by what's going to come out of their mouth. And there is so much wisdom that children have when they're still, again, fresh from the other side, might you say, you know, before they forget, and then society makes them go into their brain and forget to be in their heart. So I always encourage parents to definitely talk with their children. There's different personalities, again. So it's good to have the conversation with your children and say, well, this is what's going to happen. I tend to tell parents, you know, to use the word angels because children relate to angels and, you know, our pet is going to, we're going to help him go back home with the angels. And so in the sky, and children relate to that too. So, and it's really easy to watch. You know, we always give a sedative first. You know, we try to just let the animal relax, feed him a last meal or some treats, and just give a sedative so the animal can fall asleep, and then give the IV injection. But the process can be really, really, it's a great learning experience for the children to really stay grounded to what the world is about, you know, and how life is precious and how it's going to end, you know, and we need to really live each day to the fullest and really enjoy life and stay in the now. You know, we learn so much from the animals in just being more like them and remembering to play and be nice and go outside and just keep it simple. So I want to keep that process of celebration of life very simple also, so they can feel comfortable. And where a lot of these children, you know, it's going to shape their future, and some will want to become veterinarian and some will want to become medical doctors, and some have the most amazing questions, and they're going to, you know, be great scientists. And so I try to answer every single question that they have and not dismiss them, because they need to understand, you know. So obviously, if they're too young, like less than 3 years old, then it, sometimes they might be a distraction. So if they're so young that they won't really relate to what's going on, the parents can make the decision if they want their children to be there, or if they just want to take that time for themselves, you know, because often their pets have been there for a longer time than their children. So they want that moment without the children and just to focus on their relationship with their pet, which is fine too. You know, it's really to personalize this ceremony to their liking, the family's preferences. And some children might decide to be there. Some might decide not to be there, depending on the bond that they have with the animal. And I always, you know, I encourage families when they are wanting to get an animal, let's say, you know, to involve the children too in choosing that pet, because it's amazing. Some children will really bond with an animal. And so trying to really be open-minded about what animal will join our family based on, like, if you go to the shelter and just see what animal is attracted to your child and vice versa. So to me, that's the best team, when we just let things happen, you know, and just see what bond is being formed with what animal, between which child and which animal. And that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you know, with most children, many times the death of a pet is the first time that they encounter death, you know, and, you know, it's one of those things that will really impact their belief system about death. And so, I mean, it seems like it would be a great opportunity to instill, you know, a belief system, or to help guide, you know, that belief system into, you know, death and transition. And it just seems that, you know, involving the child in it would be just beneficial for them in the future.
Yes, and also involving them before it's time to say goodbye, you know, with going to the hospital and understanding when an animal is sick, and then giving medications. And you know, we can win a lot of ground with our children too when they get sick. You know, I remember when I was a child, and God, I hated to take my own medication. You know, my dad really had to wrestle this. But if my parent had told me, hey, you have to take your medication, just like your dog, when he gets sick, he takes his medication. You know, animals, children, we will do anything that our animal is doing. You know, you brush the animal's teeth. It's much easier to get your children to brush their own teeth, because they're going to want to do anything that their dog does. So it's really good to bond them, you know, way before it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, well, you know, and also, you know, in preparation, you know, when you talk about it being a celebration of life, I mean, it would be great way to have the children prepare stories and memories to be able to be shared at that particular time.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. A lot of children will either, write a song, write a poem, drawings, you know, do some drawings. And so if the pet gets cremated, you know, I will bring some of these drawings or letters from the children or the parents or pictures, and they can all be cremated with their pet. If they do a home burial, we can bury those pictures and toys and, again, drawings from the children. Absolutely. Everything can be done. So it's really just doing what everyone needs to get some closure and peace, and really honoring the life of their loved one, you know, their animal. That meant so much to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to kind of, you know, in the last 10 minutes that we have, talk about the living, you know. So for people who are listening who who are interested in maybe building or strengthening the idea of animal communication, would you mind sharing with the listeners just your experience about communicating with animals, and maybe how a listener, if they're interested, could strengthen that ability or skill?
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people already are doing it without wanting to admit it or wanting to tell anybody. But a lot of people communicate with their pets. And obviously there is a behavioral communication. You know, our animals know our every move. And we get to a point where we know their every move also. So when they're just doing something out of the ordinary, a lot of people will just bring them to the hospital and say, okay, something is wrong. We need to figure out. And then we talk about a lot of, again, fulfillment, because a lot of times we get sick, or our animals will get sick, because there is lack of fulfillment, there is boredom, there is not being in tune with our life's mission, our purpose, what makes us feel alive, you know. And really, our animals are all unique, and I do believe they all have a purpose. And so, for example, I have a cat at my house that we rescued. He was really young, but he craved going outside, and we had to say, okay, we need to compromise with him. We didn't want him to go out, which a lot of cases, you know, a lot of people say, well, no, I don't want to let my cat out because of the dangers of being hurt. But keeping a cat inside can also lead to a lot of health issues. And that's what happened with our own cat. He was constipated. He had major constipation issues, and we knew that he was not happy. He was stuck between four walls. He did not thrive. He was not living to his fullest. He was just existing, you know. So he got cured. You know, we made a deal with them, you know, many years ago. We're like, okay, we love you. Please be safe. And we try, you know, we try obviously to do the best we can so they don't get hurt and die prematurely, or, you know, that you feel guilt. But you also have to allow them to live the life that they were meant to live. And this cat is now 12 years old. He's doing great. He's not constipated anymore. And he goes out during the day. You know, we have a routine, again, like, you know, we feed him breakfast. He checks in breakfast and night, and then he comes in for the night. And so that worked out really well. For example, and then we have, let's say, another of our dogs who had it made. We rescued him. He was the only dog for quite a few years, and he was the king of the house. And then this little puppy found us, you know, on the side of the road, and we adopted him. And so our dog that was older got completely devastated. I mean, we thought he was going to die. He got such an emotional shock, like, no, I'm not sharing my kingdom. There is no way. And so there is nothing wrong medically with him, but he was dying inside. He was just so devastated, and he felt rejection. He felt rejected. Animals feel the same emotions as we do. So we had to work with him really hard and to really make it all a balanced pack, you know, balanced routine that everybody gets what they need, and spending time with them. You know, we live in this crazy, fast-paced society, but we all need to slow down and take time for ourselves to live, but take time for our animals also, so they can all have their needs met. And this little dog, his name is Yogi. He's doing great. He's 13 years old. The puppy is 7 right now. And we figured it out, you know. But being in tune with our animals, it really helps a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're right. The emotions, I mean, are very, they mirror, you know, a lot of times, you know, what the owners have. But they're like people. They all have their own personalities and quirks and, you know, and desires. And it is important to, you know, kind of tune in to that and be able to deal with that. And, you know, it seems that, to me, it seems that when it comes to having animals as pets, that one of the things that they really teach the humans is unconditional love. What unconditional love is, and they show it, and, you know, hopefully the humans can learn from that and incorporate that into their lives.
Oh, yes, and they believe in us more than we believe in ourselves often. You know, they're there cheering us along and waiting for us to figure it out, you know, and they won't give up on us. They're just going to be there supporting us through thick and thin. And like you said, unconditional love, and just wanting us to really grow into figuring things out and becoming better people and better souls. So I appreciate everything that they do for us. And so I encourage people just talk to your pet. You know, of course, they don't understand all the words, although some dogs are really smart and they'll pick up on a lot of words. But no matter who they are, they will get the energy that you're putting in your words and the feelings. And then when you get a gut feeling back about something, act on it. You know, if there's something that's not right inside, don't dismiss that feeling. Get to really understand your own body. And when you get a knot in your stomach, like you know something is wrong about one of your pets, or, you know, just act on that because you know your pet more than anybody else. So there is a lot of communication that needs to happen between you, your pet, your veterinarian, other, and your own doctor, you know, when you get a gut feeling for your own self that, okay, something is not right here. It really is a team effort because we don't have all the tests to diagnose all the diseases. We don't know when we're going to die, you know. So intuition is a huge part of this, of medicine. And that's why, you know, animal communication, intuitive medicine, I talk about it in my book. It's all very connected and together. It's this amazing. We have so many more tools now that when we listen to all those signs in nature, nature gives us a lot of signs too. And for example, you know, there is ways to prevent being hit by a car or, you know, getting into a car accident or because often there are signs out there that are warning us, you know, warning signs or little things that come up. And, you know, and one time I was walking in the yard and I came face to face with a rattlesnake and I was in a bad place in my head. You know, mentally I was kind of getting lost. And when I see, you know, animals will bring us back. I mean, of course, you snapped me right out of it. But I talk about a lot of examples in my book where, you know, you're not sure about what decision to make. And then look at this. There is an owl that flies by, and the owl is my grandpa's totem animal. After he died, we started seeing owls around us. You know, it was just really weird. Yeah. And a lot of people share that same experience of my mom loved cardinal birds. And now that she died, every time I have a tough decision to make, I see a cardinal bird. You know, it's really fascinating. So we need to pick up on those little things or the scent of a loved one who died and you smell her perfume or the pipe smell. So those things to me are real. There's a connection.
Very much. Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I had one of those moments about 5 years ago or 6 years ago now. And there was I was at, you know, one of those pity party I was having with myself about, you know, certain things weren't happening at the speed I wanted them to happen. And on my morning nature walk, I just happened to be just stop, you know, suddenly, and there was this tiny little caterpillar that was really like, you know, finishing the walk across this street, you know, this asphalt street that is in the neighborhood. And I mean, you know, normally I would have easily walked right by, but I mean, it just caught my attention. And I thought, well, you know, that little guy, you know, from his perspective or her perspective, they have just crossed this huge, you know, territory of hot, you know, rock, you know, and they're about to go into this, you know, nice green grassy area. And it was like, you know, little did they know that green grassy area was ahead, but what they recognized and experienced was this huge long trail of hot rough road, you know. And I just thought, well, you know, I've been going through that hot rough road right now, so I can, you know, learn from that little caterpillar that, you know, there is that little green grassy area ahead, and whether or not I see it or not, it is lying ahead.
Most definitely, that is such a wonderful message from that caterpillar to you, saying, "Hang in there, you're almost to the grassy area for sure." That's beautiful. I'm glad you picked up on that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're at the end of the show. So, Dr. Joanne, is there any final words they may want to provide the listeners before we close?
I would just wish everyone to have the best time, the best life, and the best death for themselves and their pets and together before it's the last day on Earth. So soak it up every day and live each day like it's your last, because you don't know. So do everything you want to do today.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Dr. Joanne. I really enjoyed our chat today.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Dr. Joanne LaFave Connolly, and we've been talking about her book, Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. And again, her book is available at Amazon.com, and you can also find out more by visiting her website, which is Haley'sAngels.com, and that's HaleysAngels.com. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.